Hey everybody, this is Maggie. And my show, The Unsolicited Opinion, can be heard here on AM 1360 WNJC every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. You know, Barack Obama wants to redistribute the wealth. Well, I disagree. I think you need to earn what you get in life. So join me, because I'm going to be redistributing the truth one word at a time on The Unsolicited Opinion here on WNJC
1360. People who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic, and we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Hey, what's everybody, $3,000 car? And welcome to The Unsolicited Opinion. How you doing tonight? Is everybody happy? Full from Thanksgiving, looking forward to Christmas, and here in the Philadelphia area, there was this little display they had put up. They were going to call it a Christmas village, and then someone, amazingly enough, here in the United States would actually complain that a Christmas village was called a Christmas village, so then they were just going to have it called a holiday village, because God forbid we should offend anybody on Christ's birthday, which is the purpose of putting up a Christmas village in the first place, is because of Christ, Christmas. Get it? All of you people out there who have your heads stuck in your rear end, the purpose of Christmas is to celebrate Jesus Christ's birthday, okay? So all of you politically correct leftist nimrods, okay, all you haters of Christmas and haters of freedom and haters of liberty and haters of the truth, tough. You know what? Christ was born on Christmas, and Christmas is we call it Christmas because we're celebrating Christ's birthday. And if you don't like it, that's too bad, isn't it? Isn't it too bad if you don't like it? Guess what, kids? The world isn't fair. And even though you'd like it to be fair, and in your pretend world everything's fair, no, everything isn't fair. Life isn't fair. And so get over it, grow up, and deal with it. And we say Merry Christmas in their country, too. How's that? People like to say Merry Christmas. Does that offend you, too, if you don't like it? And tough. You know what? That's just tough. That's just too bad. I am so sick of the political correctness crap in this country that I could puke. And you know what else I can tell you? There's millions of other Americans out there who are also very tired of all the political correctness crap in this country, and they could also puke too. We've had it up to our neck with political correctness crap, because that's exactly what it is. It is absolutely crap. And people in this country are entitled to say what they want to say. They are entitled to think what they want to think. They're entitled to associate with whomever they want to associate with. And they're entitled to be as successful as they want to be, too. And if you can't be as successful as someone else, well, that's just too bad. Maybe you don't have what it takes. And guess what? You know what? Nature, everything isn't equal in nature, is it? It's called survival of the fittest. That's the natural order of things. And what happens in this country now, the goofballs on the left, they think that somehow they're going to wave some fairy dust and everyone's going to be magically equal. Well, you know what we all are? We are all equally human. That's what we all are, equally human. But beyond that, hey, some people are beautiful and some people are homely. What are you going to do about it? That's just life, isn't it? Some people are athletically inclined and other people can't tie their own shoes. That's just life, isn't it? Some people have an IQ of 50 and other people have an IQ of 160. Isn't that just life? Nothing fair about that. What are you going to do about leveling the IQ playing field? There's nothing you can do. Deal with it. But you know what? I'm telling you, people in this country are tired of political correctness. And I'm going to talk to you tonight. The guest that I have coming on in a couple minutes actually can tell you all about how incorrect political correctness is, because my guest that I'm bringing on tonight wrote a book called Shakedown Socialism, and his name is Oleg Atbashian, and he actually comes from the USSR. So I am sure that he can tell us all kinds of interesting tidbits of what socialism really is in the real world and how it really plays out for those of you dummies who don't have any idea what it is that you are aspiring towards. He's going to give us a real bird's eye view of what the real world is really about, and not this imaginary dream world that the leftists live in, this utopia that they think that they're going to create that's never been created previously, because it can't be created because it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And how many millions of people were murdered under the guise of aspirations towards a socialist utopia? How many? How many did they kill? Think about it. All right, we're going to be going to break, and then when we come back, we will bring on Oleg, and he can talk to you about how incorrect political correctness is here in this country. So we'll be back in a couple minutes. Hang on, everybody. You are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion, and this is Maggie.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now at 800-221-9442 and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishments, and collections. We won't waste a minute helping you with your tax problems. We'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. We've settled millions of dollars of tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking on your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-221-9442. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-221-9442. That's 800-221-9442. Again, 800-221-9442.
These days, we all need to save money where we can. As your car gets older, it will have mechanical problems. Don't get caught with a $2,000 or even $5,000 repair bill. If your factory warranty is about to expire or you have no warranty coverage at all, an extended vehicle protection plan can save you thousands. We pay for 100% of your covered repairs, and we pay the dealer or your preferred mechanic directly for you. No more hassle with reimbursements. The number to call is 800-837-7554. There is no one-size-fits-all to vehicle protection plans. At A-Plus Auto Protection, we work with BBB-rated providers to offer a full menu of plans ranging from platinum coverage to basic plans that cover the most costly engine and transmission repairs. We do the comparison shopping for you, so you save money with our discounts. For a limited time, also receive roadside assistance, towing, and rentals, but you must call now. Call 800-837-7554. 800-837-7554. 800-837-7554.
And all plans available in all states for all vehicles.
Good morning, heartache. You owe.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie, and you are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And you can go to my website, theunsolicitedopinion.com. All podcasts of my show, as well as links to all of my guests' websites, are always up on my website, usually shortly after the show ends. And I wanted to remind you all that I have a sponsor of this show, which is a website entitled diggersrealm.com, and they have been on the warpath hunting out illegal immigration issues in this country for about the last 8 years. And so if you want the inside scoop on what's really happening and not the stuff that you are given, not the dog poop that they tell you on the mainstream media, if you want the truth, then go to diggersrealm.com, because they have been telling the truth about illegal immigration in this country, and they have been on the game for the last 8 years. So please check out Digger's Realm. And as always, I am always looking for sponsors of the show. So if you believe in the truth as I do, then please, if you've got a small business or something you want to advertise, get in contact with me through my website, which is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. And we will work out a deal, because believe me, I can make you a deal that you can't refuse. Now listen, my guest is on the line. I want to welcome Oleg Atbashian to the show. He is the author of the book entitled Shakedown Socialism, and he is also the creator of the website called thepeoplescube.com. So Oleg, welcome to The Unsolicited Opinion.
Hi Maggie, how are you?
I'm pretty like wild tonight. I'm a little wound up, a little frustrated and aggravated over what the leftists are up to in this country. So other than the leftists, I'm wonderful, Oleg. So
yeah,
tell us a little bit about your background, Oleg. How'd you end up here in the United States, and what brought you to this wonderful country?
Well, after I considered all of my options of living in this universe, I decided that I would be better off living in the United States as a free man in a free country, and earn my living by honest work without having to prostitute myself to all kind of bureaucrats in that system where I came from. And for a while it lasted, but then I discovered that this world is just not as badly infected, but it is pretty badly infected with this idea of socialism and economic equality and this so-called fairness, which is not fairness at all, as a lot of other parts of the world. And that is why, and this is the last bulwark of freedom and capitalism in the world, and there's nowhere to go from here, so we have to put up our last fight here.
That's
what we're doing, and I heard your introduction. It was pretty fiery.
Well, you know,
I'll have to live up to it now.
You know, I can't help but be fired up, and that's the same with the millions of people who are in this country who are recognizing, you know, we've all been asleep because we've been fat and happy, and we've been lucky to prosper and live in this country. So everybody has been had rested on their laurels, I guess, Oleg, as far as recognizing the evil that surrounded them in terms of what the leftists were up to, and the way they figured they'd conquer this country is by infiltrating all of our institutions, and they've done such a remarkable job of that. You know, our educational system was taken down. Therefore, if it wasn't, people would have been readily aware of what was happening to them. They would have been slapped in the face by reality because they would have been able to recognize it. And this, I don't believe, would have gotten to the point that we are at today in 2010. But unfortunately, you know, the leftists control our educational system. They've infiltrated a lot of our churches, you know, with public-private partnerships. They're involved with that aspect of it. They're in our government. So here we are today. And you're here with me to tell us what we can do to stop this madness.
I just got an email today from somebody who read my book, and he said that he got terrified, and after the fourth chapter, he's afraid to keep reading further. And that was not why I wrote the book. It's I didn't mean to scare people, but I guess some people are, when their eyes open to reality or what's really going on, they get terrified. But I try to make the book as easy to read and humorous as possible. When, you know, closer to your questions, when I first came here, I felt as if I took a time machine from the past to the future, living in this beautiful futuristic world. But the more this country is progressing towards socialism, the more reforms this Obama administration is doing to our economy and society, I'm beginning to feel as if it's the other way around, as if I took a time machine from your future to the past. And I've seen all of it, that where the country is heading to. And so I now feel it is my obligation to tell my American comrades, so what's in store for them, what's going to happen. And that's also what the book is about, and what the People's Cube is about.
Well, let's talk about your book, Shakedown Socialism, Oleg. And the first chapter is entitled Trade Unions, School of Communism, if I have it correctly written down here, which I'm not sure. Yeah, Lenin, trade unions are the school of communism. And unions are very powerful in this country. So let's talk about that first chapter and how the unions play into the whole push of socialism and how they're the driving force behind it.
Right. Well, as I state in the book, that unions and communists have one thing in common, which is the redistribution of wealth and establishing this sort of forced economic equality. But the difference is, of course, that the unions only try to do it for their own members, like an exclusive club, and at the expense of everybody else. And communists are trying to do it for the entire world. So the difference is more in the scope of their aspirations. But in both cases, the system that they're creating is unsustainable and will eventually collapse, just like I like this quote by Margaret Thatcher, who said that the problem with socialism is that it eventually runs out of other people's money.
Well, you know, the thing, there's no impetus for you to get up off your rear end and do anything. That's
right.
That's the whole point. It kills the creator. It kills the economic engine, because after a while, when your money's taken away from you and the fruits of your labor, you figure, well, why should I bother to do that? What's the point?
That's one thing. Another thing is that when the union parks will mean nothing when there is nothing left to redistribute. And that happened to the unions in the Soviet Union when the government eventually took over. When the unions helped the communists to get to power, just like the American trade unions are helping socialists, they've been heavily infiltrated, most of the unions, by these socialist ideologues. And now they're helping to transform the government, to put it on this sort of socialist railing. But if they take lessons from the past, they would see that the unions that helped the communists to come to power in the USSR eventually suffered after that, because then the government took over all those functions that the unions were created for, and so the unions became redundant. And when there is a competition with the government, guess who loses?
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Then the workers, when you were right that under that system there is no incentive to work to become better, and the creativity is not flourishing, as opposed to what the communists were telling the people, that when all the factories become owned by the workers, we kick out the capitalist owners and turn the factories to the workers, that's when the creativity and the productivity of labor would increase tenfold. But it didn't happen, because it can't happen. And it's a long story why, and we can talk about that later. I address it in the book also. But what happened is that people stopped working and the economy wasn't growing, so the government had to tighten some of the screws, and so the workers eventually lost all the rights that they had. They were forced to work in a sort of semi-military environment where the government was persecuting them. If you committed some sort of a violation at a factory right now, that would be just between you and the owner. But when it's owned by the government, then it becomes an offense against the state. And that changes the nature between the worker and the employer.
Well, you know, one of the examples I was reading from your book, Oleg Willett talks about how, well, if you're 10 minutes late for work or you don't show up for work, you know, and the punishment, or if you leave early, you know, like you said, it's an offense against the state. It's no longer, you know, your private boss who, private ownership of the company. It's you have offended the collective.
Yes. That system was created, the system where a worker could be arrested and sent to prison for repeated offenses, for being late or skipping work. That was created under Stalin when they realized that economic incentives weren't working. They instituted this regime of terror where people were forced to work otherwise or else. That system lasted up until the 60s, and then it was all liberalized, and the labor code was again changed to something where the workers had more rights, but then again, the productivity wasn't increasing, and the workers weren't working, and the economy started faltering again, and it lasted, the inertia lasted until the very fall of the Soviet Union, when they figured out that they couldn't go on like this any longer.
Well, one of the things that you talked about, a strike that occurred in 1962, which, of course, never got out to the rest of the world that this even took place until 1989, but it was interesting to me, one of the things that you pointed out in there, where the people who, the workers who went on strike, they were fraternizing the military or police that were there, the forces that were there, they were fraternizing with the locals. So then the powers that be had to bring in non-Russian forces to be able to get the people back in line. And it kind of made me think of a couple of things. It made me think of the fact that Barack Obama had signed an executive order about a year or so ago, right before Christmas, actually, allowing Interpol to operate with immunity in this country. No oversight from Congress, FBI, CIA, anybody. They could just do whatever they wanted to do. And I thought that was kind of fascinating, especially when I read this, because I thought, you know, in this country, we would think that the people would, you know, our soldiers wouldn't turn their guns on us, I guess. But if they brought in people from another country who had no allegiance whatsoever, they'd have no problem doing that, would they?
No. Let's not even think about that scenario.
No, I know.
That's so terrifying.
The reality is history does repeat itself, doesn't it, Oleg?
Right. But you know what? People do turn against each other and brother against brother, and that happened before. And America had its own civil war, although it was fought against different principles. But in the Soviet Union, they did have their own civil war where the communists defeated the proponents of the so-called bourgeois democracy. What happened is that when the ideology of Marxism, socialism, communism, call it whatever you want, changes the perception of a human being from being a human with his human values to a member of a class or a member of a group, a minority group, or classify them by their professions or any other secondary characteristics which become primary characteristics as opposed to human being. That's when you can divide society very successfully and pit different groups of people against each other.
Well, it seems that the unions are masters at that, aren't they? Exploiting
the unions
people's anger for their,
this
for
whole
their
thing,
political
but now
purposes.
Look at what the left is doing. It is splitting the society into all these different groups of people, the minorities, by dividing them by color, by language, by ethnicity, by origin, by religion. Each group has its own set of grievances, prescribed grievances. You can't invent your own. You have to; they have to be given to you by the ideologues who are running this whole racket. And then those same ideologues, the demagogues, are in charge of that group, and they're telling that group how to vote, how to think, who their enemies are. And that is how the society is being destroyed. This whole amalgamation of different grievance groups are now a gigantic force. They helped Obama to come to power, and they're now a force that is basically running the country and telling politicians what to do. And that force is nowhere in the Constitution. They have created an alternative system of political power in this country.
It's no longer the rule of law, it's the rule of man. And on that note, Oleg, hang on. We're going to go to a break, and we will be gone for about maybe a minute and a half or so. So everybody listening, you are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion, and we are speaking tonight with Oleg Atbashian, who is the author of the book entitled Shakedown Socialism. So hang on, everybody, and we will be back in a minute or so.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now at 800-221-9442 and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishments, and collections. We won't waste a minute helping you with your tax problems. We'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. We've settled millions of dollars of tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking on your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-221-9442. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-221-9442. That's 800-221-9442. Again, 800-221-9442.
What would a $3,000 car repair bill do to your budget? A vehicle protection plan from 5-Star Auto Protection can save you thousands in repairs. Your auto insurance won't cover a $3,000 transmission repair, but we will. If your car has less than 130,000 miles, give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help eliminate costly car repair bills. Call us now. Call 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. Plans not available in all states for all vehicles. See agreement for complete terms.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie, and welcome back to The Unsolicited Opinion. You can contact me via my website, which is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. Podcasts of my show are up there. You can hear my show every day, Monday through Friday at 4 o'clock. I'm also played via nettalkworld.com, TalkStream Live, and on Sundays at noon, micro1650am.com. Listen, we are speaking tonight with Oleg Atbashian, who is the author of Shakedown Socialism. And Oleg, let's continue. Let's talk about the forced inequality and economic justice that you speak about in your book, Shakedown Socialism.
Right. Economic equality is like that optical illusion that is being presented to us in order to lure us into this beautiful utopian world. But like I said, it works as an optical illusion because it doesn't exist in reality for various reasons. There are economic reasons, there are moral reasons why this doesn't work. And people who still are willing to institute that utopia are similar to those who are fooling us with an optical illusion, luring us to the edge of a cliff where we will all eventually fall down. And that's what happened to the country where I came from, that barely survived those 70 years of rule by the Communist Party, and we don't want to get there again. So economic equality is impossible for many reasons. Just one of the basic reasons that I first realized when I still was a 17-year-old kid in the Soviet Union, when I saw my friends living, I had friends who were children of party officials.
Okay.
And their living standard was much higher than everybody else's. They lived in much better homes. They had foreign imported furniture. They even owned cars. That was a big luxury at the time. And, you know, I still loved my friends and respected their parents, but I couldn't understand that why people who were in charge of overseeing the economic equality for so many years were making an exception for themselves and their own children. And they were doing it, I figured, because they loved their children and they wanted the best for them, and that's the basic human virtue. But then I thought perhaps exactly that basic human virtue is why economic equality is impossible, because even if you take all the property that the current generation owns and redistribute it equally so that all children have economic opportunity when they're born, equal economic, not opportunity, but economic, you know, material wealth.
Okay.
That would still disappear because after a generation, they would become very unequal again because all people are born with different strengths, different talents, different inclinations, and some want more money, some want more of a fun life and relaxation, and some people are capable of doing a lot of things and other people aren't. And some people just are more lucky than others, and so what then? We should then, with the next generation again, take everything from everybody and redistribute it all over again? That's just unrealistic, even if everybody would still agree to do that.
Well, you know, it's the inequality of equality, huh?
Yeah, but then again, the people who are in charge of equality are the what George Orwell said, most more equal than others, because they are deciding who has what. And then people who want a little more than others would, of course, bribe them in order to get more. But bribes are not always material. It's not always money. You can bribe with all kinds of things, with power, with attitude, with all kinds of favors. And if money is not the main currency in the country, it is being replaced by access to the distribution system, as it happened in the USSR, because the people didn't have much money and things were in shortage anyway, so those were better off who had access to the government distribution system, who could get things that other people couldn't. And that access to the distribution system is like a big trough where all those crooks begin to feed, and that's where the biggest concentration of crooks will eventually be found. So any system that would try to redistribute wealth would eventually become corrupt, because those crooks will find their way to the trough. And there will always be crooks and antisocial elements. It is impossible to create, breed sort of a new man as the Soviet government was trying to create at once.
Well, it's impossible. I mean, it goes against the laws of nature. And man can't control nature. It's an impossible thing. It's like trying to grab the wind. You can't grab it. No matter how much you long for or desire to be able to do that, it's impossible. The
you cannot,
wind slips through your fingers. You can't do it.
You cannot regulate laws of physics, for instance. You cannot change the law of gravity to say that this gravity should be a little bit less harsh on disabled people or on certain individuals who deserve it. Because, you know, unfortunately, we would love the disabled people to have a little bit less force of gravity for them, but this is not how the world works.
No, it isn't.
So we have to adjust to that, as opposed to adjusting to our own needs and not the gravity. So all these proponents of economic equality are the ones who are proposing, they propose this utopia, which they, some of them sincerely love it. They think it's such a great idea. There are, of course, demagogues and crooks who profit by it, but we're talking about the people who honestly believe in those ideas of equality, economic equality. They love that so much that they begin to think that sacrificing a few human beings to that idea is a small price to pay for the happiness that will ensue eventually. But then where there is a few people, then there is more and more and more, and then there are millions, as you were talking in the beginning. 100 million people were killed by communist ideologues in order to create those perfect worlds, but those perfect worlds never were created, and people died in vain. So what I'm saying is that economic inequality that they're trying to fight, that economic inequality is a small price to pay to remain normal human beings living in a free society, we still have here, although it's been impaired. But
well, isn't it a kind of ironical, like, that Putin even gave Obama advice to don't excessively interfere with economic activity and have such blind faith in what the state's omnipotence, because I think, you know, he's old enough to know exactly how much it doesn't work. He is in the USSR, isn't he? So,
yes,
the USSR.
The USSR collapsed.
Yep,
so the
exactly.
For the same reason, because it wasn't working, they realized that no matter what they did, the system was going down the drain. And so they decided to abandon it. But foolish ideologues in the United States and the Western countries are still being lured or fooled by that optical illusion of economic equality and justice.
Well, because the ones who push it the most vehemently, I believe, Oleg, are the ones who always have a chicken in their pot, as President Hoover said during the Depression. You know, there'd be a chicken in every pot for people at that time. The people who push for this nonsense, this utopia, are the ones who think that their bread is always going to be buttered. That's what they think. They're naive enough to think that they're always going to be on the inside looking out.
And they never realize where that wealth is coming from. The wealth is being created by free enterprise and free economic activities. For instance, after the Second World War, all the problems that the Soviet Union had were blamed on the war, that we've been devastated, Germans hurt the country so badly that we still cannot recover. And that game, blame game, was going for a very long time until it nobody could believe in it anymore because, the country was badly damaged during the war, but then and so was Germany also. It was completely, some parts of it were completely destroyed. And then it had to pay reparations, and then Western Germany became much more, much stronger, more prosperous country under the martial law. What was the name of that policy where America, the Marshall Plan.
The Marshall Plan.
Right.
For rebuilding Europe?
They rebuilt Europe based on a more or less American economic model, and Europe started prospering again, and the Soviet Union wasn't. So people were seeing it. We were, of course, separated from all that. The more the disparity between the prosperity and our misery was obvious, the more the government was trying to control information and not letting people know what's really going on. And even if we were allowed to see some of the foreign movies, they would still tell us that, oh, all that wealth and prosperity is just for a show. It's not real. It's just for us to, you know, to fool the gullible.
Like a Potemkin village, is that the right name?
Potemkin village is exactly what it is, yes. And
yeah.
The Soviet government was creating those Potemkin villages itself, so it was projecting the same tactics and strategy on their opponents. And people were supposed to believe that. This is actually how the left operates. If they accuse their opponents of something, you can bet your money on it that they are already doing it themselves or they're planning to start doing it.
Oh, I'm sure. Hold that thought, Oleg, because I want to come back to that in terms of what the left accuses people of doing they're guilty of themselves, because we're going to go to break. And then we'll be back in about a minute and a half or so. Listen, everybody, you are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. My name is Maggie, and we are speaking with Oleg Atbashian, who is the author of Shakedown Socialism. We will be back in about a minute and a half, so everybody hang in there because you're listening to the truth. So hold on.
What would a $3,000 car repair bill do to your budget? A vehicle protection plan from 5-Star Auto Protection can save you thousands in repairs. Your auto insurance won't cover a $3,000 transmission repair. But we will. If your car has less than 130,000 miles, give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help eliminate costly car repair bills. Call us now. Call 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. Plans not available in all states for all vehicles. See agreement for complete terms.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now at 800-221-9442 and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste a minute helping you with your tax problems. We'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. We've settled millions of dollars of tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking on your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-221-9442. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-221-9442. That's 800-221-9442. Again, 800-221-9442.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie, and you are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion, and we are speaking tonight with Oleg Atbashian. He is the author of Shakedown Socialism, and this is a book that all of you listening and hearing my voice need to read. You can find it on the website, shakedownsocialism.com. He is also the creator of a website entitled thepeoplescube.com. That's as in cube steak. Check that out as well. ShakedownSocialism.com is the name of Oleg's book, and we are speaking with Oleg Atbashian. So where did we leave off, Oleg? I had brought up the educational system in this country, and if they had been doing their job, the leftists who have been undermining this country, our whole so-called educators, we wouldn't be where we are today. So let's talk a little bit about how people are educated and where you help.
The educational system here, unfortunately, is absolutely below any criticism, and I had to send my children to public schools. Because I wasn't making enough money, and whatever I was making in taxes, the money that I would otherwise spend on children's education were going to support the public school system. That's the public school system is something that I would like to talk about, too, if you don't mind.
No, go right ahead.
When I first moved here, I still didn't understand a lot of things about how America works and operates, but I kept hearing that the school system is always short of money and there are not enough funds, and all the problems were blamed on not enough funding. But I saw those schools, I saw how they operate, and I knew that my school was where I studied, operated on probably 5 or 10% of the budget that a regular public school in Brooklyn operates, where I live. And at the same time, they were able to put 3 times more knowledge into the heads of the children. And why is that? That the money was never a problem there. I mean, of course, nobody would mind more money for the teachers. Nobody would mind more money for the equipment for the schools. But that is not exactly related to the running the educational system with where there is a discipline, where children are actually learning something. It was unthinkable for somebody to drop out of the school when I was going to school in the USSR. And, of course, we can talk about even though leftists are in charge of the public schools, they're not running it the same way as the Soviet schools were being run, where there was a semi-military discipline. But that's a different discussion. When I first started questioning that idea about not enough funding for the public schools was when I mentioned that in my book, the story when I was working at a construction company that did some work at a public school, a city project, and they carried out some garbage after themselves, the workers did. And then we got a call from a union boss telling us that our company owes the union company $500 for taking out the garbage that the union company was supposed to take out. So we had an argument about that, and it's actually a funny story how it ended. I describe it in the book. But that's what I thought. If taking out garbage cost $500 and that money is included into this school budget, then how much more money is being spent out of the school budget that goes to the unions and goes to all other things that are unrelated to education itself. Then I visited my son's school at one time, and I needed to talk to the principal about one thing or another. I don't even remember what, but I was waiting in the corridor for her to come out in the hallway. There was a billboard with children's compositions, and I had nothing better to do, so I started reading. And the compositions were called How I Would Change the American Constitution.
Wonderful.
And most children responses, most children put in their little compositions that they would add the right to work, the right to housing, the right to free health care, and the right to education into the Constitution. And when the principal came out, I pointed, well, she saw that I was reading, and so she beamed with pride, saying, look, how great, aren't our kids great? And I said, why do you want them to turn the American Constitution into a Soviet Constitution? Because that's just what the Soviet Constitution was about. We had all those rights, but it didn't do us any good. And she said, why, what's wrong with having a right to work, to housing, to education, to health care? I said, because that not only those service, then if the government provides those, puts that into the Constitution in the first place, then the government will be obliged to provide it to people. And not only those services will be inferior, they will also, in order to provide those services to people, the relationship between the people and the government would have to change. A new totalitarian system would have to be introduced so that the government would be able to track and control all the people in order to provide those services to them. And so instead of being free owners of the country, the people would be in the government dependents who would live counting on favors from the government bureaucrats to provide something for them. And judging from my experience of living in the USSR, those rights to work, education, housing, and so on, and health care, are economic traps because the government takes the money from you in order to provide those services. And so you're left with nothing, and you depend on the government to give that to you. And whatever the government gives, you have to be happy with. But the government gives you inferior services, and you have no choice. You can't choose where to go. You can't find a private doctor who would actually listen to what you what your problems are. Then with education, you can't choose what to teach your children. There will be one government program of brainwashing your kids, and you would have no choice because that would be the only compulsory education available. With the housing, the government provides you with a cheap apartment after 20 years of waiting. Yes, they will give you a very cheap apartment. But then again, you have no choice of where that apartment would be. You can't move to another city. It was almost an impossible project moving to a different city. And so on and so on. And with the right to work, the same thing. If you don't work, you can go to jail as a parasite. For instance, I have friends here in the States who saved up enough money. They worked for a while, and now they want to go on and pursue their interests, like art and writing. And so they decided to stop working and pursue their stuff because they saved up money. Now, it's their business what they do with their money, and it's not my concern. So whatever they do with it, who cares? And nobody objects to that, right? But now imagine that the government redistributes services equally to everybody, and some people work in order to provide that, and some people don't. So the people who don't work become parasites, and the government forces them to work, whether they want it or not. And that was the system in the USSR. We didn't have unemployment, that is true. But then the government created jobs even if they were not needed. And then the salaries were so low that it was barely a survival minimum for most people. And if you, for whatever reason, wanted to pursue something, some career that the government didn't want to provide for you or couldn't, then you would be officially not working and considered a parasite. And so there was the poet Joseph Brodsky, who was actually convicted of being a parasite and exiled to the North, and was for 4 years he had to work in the northern regions and then he was exiled out of the country because he was a poet. He wrote anti-Soviet poetry. And then eventually in the 80s he received a Nobel Prize in literature. That he was a great man, and I met him here in Brooklyn shortly before his death. And he was considered a parasite. The socialism changes the relationships between people. Instead of normal being artificially constructed, then there is another thing. If the government monopolizes the economy and private enterprise is criminalized, then, of course, there will be still people who have entrepreneurial ambitions, and they will go into black markets, and they will then, or steal government property, and then they will bribe government officials in order to cover it up. And those things did happen in the USSR, where there was, on the one hand, total control of the economy, on the other hand, there was an incredible corruption. There, at one time, there was an underground car factory in Georgia.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
When it was discovered, the guy, a whole bunch of people went to jail. But you can imagine, on the one hand, all those people would have been successful entrepreneurs and probably billionaires in America somewhere with their entrepreneurial spirit to create something like this in a totalitarian country.
Sure.
On the other hand, it shows the amount of corruption because getting all the supplies in a non-market economy involved bribing all the managers of all those government factories in order to ship those supplies. And then to sell the products would mean to bribe a lot of people in the distribution system and also the police, because who were involved in registering those cars.
Sure. The corruption abounds in that system, and it will here even more than it already does. It's an inevitable thing. It's like night follows day. It's inevitable that these things will occur. If our government continues on the path that it's on, it's inevitable. I mean, history repeats itself all the time, and us fools who ignore history ignore it at our own peril. Do we not?
Look at that great fighter against financial corporations in New York, Elliot Spitzer. Remember him?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
he
I do.
He made his career on blaming Wall Street firms of corruption and going after them. Even if they were not corrupt, he was still going after them and, first of all, shaking down great settlement money for him and also donations to his political campaign. And that's how he became a governor. That's on the one hand. But the one biggest crook he didn't go after was Bernie Madoff.
Yeah,
right under his nose. Do you know why?
Do I know why? No, I don't know why.
The entire Spitzer estate was invested into Bernie Madoff's fraudulent Ponzi scheme.
And now he's got a TV show. Isn't that an amazing thing?
He's got
thing?
A TV show, but that was actually pretty funny that Elliot Spitzer is a son of a multimillionaire real estate guy, Spitzer, here in New York, and both of them lost a lot of money in this murder of Bernie Madoff debacle. So, this just shows how they are fighting corruption.
Yeah,
they are.
Exactly.
It's only for a show. They're creating a Potemkin village, but in fact, the corruption exists, and they are actually promoting it because
exactly.
With a guy with a supporter like Spitzer, Bernie Madoff could live safely and do whatever he wanted and could continue his nefarious operations.
Oleg, we've only got a couple more minutes left, actually, before we have to end here tonight. Is there one final point you'd like to make about this mad dash for madness, this train ride that we're on here in the United States, that if there was one thing in particular you'd like to warn the American people about or say to them, if you think they would turn the light bulb on in their head, what would it be?
In 2 minutes, I don't know. I have a lot to say, but if they want to get some light bulbs, they should get the book and read it. It's very short, as conclusion, I might say that I don't listen to people who say that who blame America for being unfair, that they cannot succeed there. And I've heard a lot of that from people who are born in this country and they couldn't make it and they blame the system on it. Try coming here at the age of 34, as I came here, in a totally new culture with a family to support without any money and still making it. I'm not rich, but I don't consider myself poor. I made it, and how come they do not? They keep complaining, and they're getting nowhere.
Well, it's called intestinal fortitude, motivation, and willingness to work hard, Oleg, which a lot of people in this country don't have it that anymore. They just rather sit as a couch potato and expect you
right.
to work for them.
I think I recognize Rush Limbaugh's intestinal fortitude phrase there. Though I once said to somebody that I consider myself like a Ukrainian hick from the Soviet version of Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Okay, there you go. Listen, Oleg, thank you so much for coming on my show. In fact, I'll have you back on again if you'd like to come on. We could keep talking about this because I think it's so critical that people understand exactly what it is that's being proposed and what is actually taking place here in this country, because it ain't going to be anything they're going to like, I can tell you that much. When the fat lady's done singing, it's not going to be a pretty picture. Everybody, we've been speaking with Oleg Atbashian. He is the author of Shakedown Socialism. You can find the book on shakedownsocialism.com. Also, The People's Cube. Listen, my website, three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. Podcasts will be up on my show. As always, I love to go to Oz at the end of the show, so we are going to be going to Oz. And listen, everybody, you can hear me again on Friday at 5 o'clock. Same bad station, same bad time. And on Sundays at noon on micro1650am.com, nettalkworld.com, talkstreamlive.com. Listen, look me up. Check out the podcast on my website. Go to my website. Oleg's website will be linked on mine. Go to his website, shakedown.com, buy the book. Listen, everybody, keep your chin up. Better days are coming because we've got people like Oleg here to tell us the truth. Take care, everybody.
Where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops, that's where